frankly, this is the kind of person I wouldn't want to work with.
You're not the listing agent, correct? You're a buyer's agent, correct?
Correct, yes, sir.
I think she did a really good job when he was firing those pointed questions.
Just because you had a bad experience doesn't give you the right to assume that I'm like everybody else.
Cash is king.
Cash is king.
I'm not sure this guy's worth it.
It gets worse. What I probably would have done is I just would have said... Cash call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis, back for another week. Brian, I have a 20-minute, 58-second call. We normally try to keep things moving on the show, try to keep it fresh. In this case, I want to play this whole call as much as we can, and I'm going to play it on 1.25. When you're listening to this, everybody, just know that we're playing it on 1.25. Here's the premise. This guy is selling his house in Boston. You know how much people from Boston are known for being warm and fuzzy, caring individuals, right?
Absolutely. I think that's the whole, yeah, absolutely.
And he's moving to the Carolinas, okay? And so God help this agent who gets this call. But listen to how it goes, and if we can skip forward, we will. But just listen to this.
I'm going to sit back and relax, and I'm ready to hear it.
Get some popcorn.
We're connecting you to a local agent now.
Hey, this is your local Zillow Premier agent, Town Home. I received your inquiry for when do you like to go into?
Okay, so first of all, this is Rich's husband.
Okay.
I've got some preliminary questions. Now, we've been trying to do this for the past 2 months.
Can you hear this okay?
I can hear him pretty well. Yeah, he's very loud and yes.
She did a good intro script. Did you hear? It was basically her intro script. I see your interest in this property. When would you like to go see it?
Yeah, it was the ALM script that Zillow wants you to do. Exactly.
Yes.
We are definitely moving to South Carolina.
Awesome.
The problem is that we have been finding out that it's a pretty mixed bag of real estate issues down there, putting it lightly. So the question I have for you is, we're looking at like 3 or 4 properties down there. The one in particular that we decided to try this morning is the one on Jeff. So what we're finding out is that you're not the listing agent, correct? You're a buyer's agent, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And you're going to expect us to sign an agreement with you to be exclusive to look at this property. Am I correct in that statement?
Yes, sir.
And then in the end of that, you're going to expect commission for the buyers for the purchase of the house. Am I also correct in that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then we're going to just take our chances to show up face-to-face with the listing agent, because I'm not going to be played this way. I've been finding out that the real estate issues down here, like I said, it's pretty mixed bag. And to me, that's kind of sleazy. I'm selling a house up here that I have to pay commissions on to my seller, but I am certainly not going to pay a second commission to a buyer's agent. I am not going to use a middleman. So I appreciate your time.
Okay. Well, I would love to explain this to you a little bit more. We do formally put it in the contract that it is a buyer's agency payment and from our buyer. However, during these negotiations with the seller, because the listing agent's going to represent the seller, of course, to their best ability. So you want somebody representing you. We do negotiate that so that the seller pays that commission, that the buyer, you in this case, would not have to do that.
Okay, because that is something that I will refuse to pay, but I won't sign a document saying that I'm responsible for paying a fee. So this isn't one of those things where, okay, Joe, you've got to sign a document giving me 1% or 2% or wherever it becomes, and we'll just try to negotiate at the other end. When if negotiations failed, Joe has a signed contract that now he's responsible for 1 or 2%. So that's not going to be signed. So, you know, the thing about it is I've been finding out with Zillow, Realtor.com, all these things that you're looking at online. It's kind of like it's kind of a little scammy to us because it just is. So I think what we'll do is take our chances. We'll go down there, look at the properties on the outside, figure out which neighborhood we like better, and then deal directly with the listing agent.
So, Brian, I said I was going to play the whole thing, but I think we can end here. All right.
There's so much there.
So much there. And, you know, it's so funny, the timing with the whole NAR settlement and everything. Initially, when I listened to this, I thought it was from that. It turns out, no, this guy's just a flaming and doesn't actually know how things work. Literally, he's here's what
you're not hearing me argue.
Yeah, well, it gets worse, believe me. Okay. So I feel very confident putting him into this category of client, which would be flaming category, based on everything that I've heard. And here's what happened in this call. I found out later from the person who submitted it to us.
Oh, nice.
This agent did a great job. She stuck in there with this royal and then ends up booking an appointment with him, right? They're going to go see a property. He agreed that he was going to sign the document, but that, you know, she would only be compensated if they were compensated by the listing agent. And then he goes and ends up booking with somebody else and signing on the spot and seeing it. So totally like trashes this and just ends up doing something else. Right? Complete. Here's the point. He doesn't know how stuff works. Like, even to the point that he's like, I paid my listing agent and had to pay the buyer agent there when I sold in Boston. Right now, I'm not going to pay anybody down here. I've paid all my fees and stuff. And, you know, it's just like this misconception around how things go. Because actually, listen to this. So he says all this, and then I want to find for you where he's having an issue. Then he starts to reveal some of the pain.
The point I made was, in writing, it would be written that the seller would be paying your fee?
Absolutely.
Well, that paints a different picture. Because that is the way it should be.
Because I assume that's how you're doing it upstairs, up north. That's how you're doing it right now. On your net sheet, you've set aside money that you're going to pay the listing agent, and you're going to be paying the buyer's agent.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what their agreement is, whatever, but we haven't, you know, I don't know what that agreement is.
What does your buyer broker relationship agreement say right now in either Arkansas or Colorado in terms of compensation?
Yeah, basically there's a section you can fill in. You can put a flat fee in there or you can put a percentage. Most people put a percentage. Most people put three. And then it actually says something to the effect, I don't know the exact verbiage off the top of my head, but basically says something to the effect that if the compensation is paid by the listing agent, that the buyer will not be responsible for that compensation.
That's very common verbiage all over the place, right? Now, that's going to be changing to some degree in states and, you know, municipalities, but this already exists for those of us that have used those documents and used those contracts, right? This lead just didn't know how it works, and he's making a lot of assumptions.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting about this person is there's a thing, it's called whataboutism. You see it in politics all the time, right? Person will say something about person X, and they go, what about what this person did? That's exactly what I feel like this guy's doing. Well, I had to pay a commission to my, in Boston. I don't care about Boston. I don't care about the car you bought. I don't care about the clothes you wear. None of it has anything to do with me. The only thing I'm talking about is doing a transaction in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that to that person, but I kind of would have gone down that path a little bit. Like, I can really appreciate that you had that situation in Boston. I also might have asked him, out of curiosity, did you pay any commission to the agent who's going to sell your house? In other words, if somebody from another company came and showed the house, would you be paying a commission? Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. He said, that's the way it should work. That's what I did. Right.
Right.
I paid for the buyer agent. I paid for my listing agent. I'm not going to sign a document that says I'm responsible down here. What she could have explained to him is that you did actually, it says that in the documents that the buyer signed to come and purchase your property. Yeah. That's the way it works everywhere.
And it's interesting because, you know, I had a great objection handler that is about to go away. So in my board, you have to list what's called variable commission, which basically means that if you are the listing agent and Dale comes to me and says, Brian, I want to work with you, I say, great. If I'm offering 3%, I have to take 3%. I can't say, because you're working with me, I'll only take 2%. That's actually against the rules in most MLS. It's called a variable commission. And that was my objection handler. When someone said, well, I'll just go to listing agent, I'm perfect. You understand that they're going to get paid the exact same amount, whether you work with me or whether you work with them directly. Well, I'm going to negotiate it. Well, I can appreciate that. And according to our board, which we're all members of, we've agreed not to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's actually a violation. So that script's not going to work on August 17th because that's no longer true.
Right.
However, I'm going to have a modified version of that, which is going to say the person has already decided the amount of compensation they're going to do, whether it's 1%, 2%, or 3%, 0%. They've already decided that. And so with that in mind, you going to the listing agent is not going to change the amount of compensation that they're going to give based on you working with them directly. And by the way, they're probably not going to want to do twice as much work for half the amount of money. You surely wouldn't want to do that, would you?
Yeah, I like that question. My question is, how will working with the agent that's paid to work against you get you a great deal in the best terms, right? Because that's literally what they are. They are paid to work against you and not in your best interests.
Well, and you think about it, especially as we move into this new thing, there's an argument to be made that dual agency or transaction broker, depending on your state, you know, when you technically represent both sides in some way, shape, or form, or are just passing paperwork back and forth, I appreciate the idea of fiduciary responsibility. I appreciate the idea of being a responsible professional. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a high percentage of agents who are going to worry about their seller significantly more, because we already know this buyer isn't going to work with me if this contract doesn't work out. They've already told me they're only going to work with the listing agent.
Yeah.
So right. Who am I going to take care of? I'm going to take care of the seller to make sure I get paid someday. I'm not going to go out over the top for you. And right. Again, I'm just talking about psychology. I'm not talking about law. There's right. law that we're going to, but it's gray. And so if you think that that's not going to happen, you're delusional.
I want you to hear the pain points this guy comes up with. Oh, good. His stupid process.
I want to hear more of this. It's fun.
Yeah.
Offering to give them 5% and they're splitting that with the buyer's agent. If you're giving
no,
3%.
It's 4.5% on the total thing.
Okay. I see.
So that's how, and that's, it's clean. You know what I mean? It's a clean deal and it's clean up here. But you know, what I was really perturbed about is every time we call to make an arrangement to kind of get even more information. I mean, more information was like, okay, where is this exactly? Is this new construction? Is it done? Is it this? Is it that? We get third party Zillow sitting behind a telephone, an operator, and then we get shift over to people like you that are now wanting a signed agreement. I mean, there's like eight people that want to sign, you know, to date that wanted us to sign an agreement. And it was because we picked eight different properties that we wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real problem we're having, because the coordination for this is probably going
to
be ridiculous.
He goes on to talk about how the coordination is difficult. They need to come down there and see them. They want it all lined up. They want it all done, you know, so that the back to back to back. And at the same time, this talks about he doesn't want to use an agent and he's not going to pay somebody to help him. And I swear to God, you haven't heard this in this call, in this recording. He says cash is king, I think about three times, right? Because he's selling his house in Boston for cash. He's such a, like, just disrespectful, arrogant, and frankly, this is the kind of person I wouldn't want to work with, or might just try to convert out of sheer obstinance, right? Like, that I'm stubborn and I think I can be more stubborn than you, and I'm going to try to get your business as a result.
I'm with you, Dale. Do you have a question you might have asked him? I got a question. You have a question you might have asked him to just kind of slap him around a little bit and see if you could regain control of this conversation?
So, you know what? I've thought about this after listening to this call, because this agent definitely has a very different personality style from me, and yeah. This triggers me. And so I don't know how far I would have gotten into the call, but if I had to think about what would I have asked him, let's say that we got into that. I think she did a really good job when he was firing those pointed questions, like, you're a buyer's agent, right? Not the listing agent. With that kind of, you have to just answer the question directly, right?
Absolutely.
She did a good job, right? And you're going to expect that if you show us a house and we buy it, that you're going to want to be paid a commission, right? Yes. And you have a contract that you need to have signed that says that we're potentially liable to pay you a commission, right? Yes. So she did a great job there. And then he goes, well, that's not going to happen because we're not going to sign that, right? Stuff is really weird down there. We've been getting jerked around. What I probably would have done is I just would have said, hey, I got it. It sounds like you're having a tough time with how real estate works down here. How did you expect it would go? I want to turn that question back around to him and get him to keep talking until I can get him to the end of his sidewalk where he runs out of knows or thinks he knows.
I would have slapped this guy, and I probably would have lost him, by the way. I'm just letting you know, I probably would have lost him, and I would have probably been very okay with that. But it would have been like this. He said, all these agents are doing damn, bam, 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 bam. He listed like four or five things they all wanted to do. And I don't remember. Let's call him Bob. I can't remember his name. I said, you know, Bob, I can really appreciate that. And did you notice that I didn't? What do you mean? I didn't ask you to sign a contract. I would have answered any question for you. Because I do that as customer service to people. Now, at some point in time, if I'm going to go out and show you property, if I'm going to do a bunch of work, if I'm going to do that, then yeah, we're going to have that conversation. But Bob, I haven't earned your business yet. I don't know what's wrong with these other agents who feel like that they should immediately sign something. I didn't ask you for that. So yeah. I'd like to start over if it's okay with you. How can I help you? Yeah. Like, I just smacked him and said, you're being a and just because you had a bad experience doesn't give you the right to assume that I'm like everybody else. I don't know if it would have worked, but that's probably where I would have gone.
Probably not with this keep listening. I want to see if I can get one of those cash is king things to come out of his mouth.
Not used to the real estate market down there at all. Up here we are, you know, but we know up here the seller's market. I mean, there are properties, I mean, that are on, that were on our street that were listed for X amount of dollars and went $40,000-$50,000 because it became a bidding war.
Yes, that's exactly the way Charleston has been the last couple of years, too.
So now, listen. This talks about how it's a bidding war, right, where buyers are going over. And then in the same breath, this guy's going to be like, but we got cash, and so we're not going to play that game. We're going to make you an offer, and this is what you're going to take, or we're going to the next one. Listen to this guy.
But now when I get to Charleston, I'm going to be a buyer. So I'm not going to be a seller. But I believe the cash is king. So I've noticed that on these, because at the end of the day, I'm in sales too. I've been in sales for 35 years. Not selling houses. I just couldn't do it. I don't have the patience. But the point is, the negotiating part of this is...
Because you might get an... like yourself, and that's hard to deal with. Everyone, one in 100 is as much of a as this guy is.
At the end of the day, you know, it's not something that we have to involve a bank. We have to go through all this. We have to do, you know, 45, 65 days of going back and forth and everybody just sitting on paperwork all this time. Cash is king. If we walked in and said, look, this is where our budget is. This is what the
cash is king, baby. This is where it's at.
I'm willing to pay for the house. If it works, it works. It don't. And that's all there is to it. I mean, you know, we may pay a little more if we had to, and we really like it, but it would have to be, you know, it would have to be undoubtedly worth it to do it. But the point is, you know, that's what we're coming down with cash. So we're not, I'm not in a position that, you know, I'm going to be bidding over a property because we like it.
Yeah, I don't think we want this guy's business. This guy's an and this is the guy that runs you ragged. So like I said, I don't know if you guys missed this, this saint of an agent books the appointment with this and then in the meantime, he goes and talks to some other agent, ends up signing with the agent and putting some other property under contract. That's where we ended up with that guy.
Yeah, I'll say this, all money spends the same, but boy, that doesn't mean that I want all the money. I'm not sure this guy's worth it because he probably terminated that contract when there was like a $500 repair that needed to be done on the house. And he just wasn't, he had paid cash. He wasn't going to have that.
Yeah, man. Listen, the phrase, the juice is not worth the squeeze. That applies for me, for this guy, that juice is not worth that squeeze. You know what I mean? Like the work that I got to put in, the I got to put up with, like the pure ness of this guy is not something I'd want to deal with. And not only that, but you know, when we're talking about representing both sides, dual agency, stuff like that, listen, I know that there's a lot of listing agents who are like, oh yeah, I want to try to double pop everything. But listen, man, if I'm representing somebody in the sale of their home and this walks up and wants to be represented by me or wants me to be a dual agent. Like when I would take listings, I specifically told my sellers, hey, the only time that I'm willing to be a dual agent is if you're comfortable with it, if the buyer's comfortable with it, and I'm comfortable with it, right? Otherwise, we're not doing that because I can't do the best job for you if we end up with this guy who comes along, right? And wants to monkey knife fight you over every penny.
You know what's interesting, Dale? So I have a belief, I have a desire, I have a want, I don't know what you want to call it, that dual agency and transaction brokers should just go away. I really wish it would. It's not going to, but I really wish it would. And the reason I say that is because it would solve a lot of the problems that we're going to create for ourselves. And what are we going to create for ourselves? We're going to create people going directly to the listing agent and technically being represented and not being represented.
Right.
And we should eliminate that as an industry, and it would make everything better. And the only way you get representation is if you have a buyer's agent. I know that there are several states that already have that, but when I say several, there's like two. So there's still 48 other states, none of which I'm licensed. I'm licensed in two of them, and then we're still doing dual agency and transaction broker in those states. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen.
I have myself personally and agents that I've coached and work with who have regularly taken an unrepresented buyer and referred them to another agent on the team or another agent in the brokerage to say, listen, you need help, right? You're going to need help. And this person's going to help you because I'm not going to be able to sufficiently help you as the listing agent.
So it's interesting. I would have done that. But here's what's really interesting in my state. Brokerage owns every listing and every buyer, which means that if you and I are at the same brokerage, it's dual agency.
Okay. Well, it is dual agency here in our state as well. We call it designated agency.
Yeah, they have transaction broker in Colorado where both people can be at the same and we just push paper. But it's just different. The reason I bring it up, though, is because I have the same responsibility to your buyer who I've never met as the seller who I talk to every day.
Really?
In dual agency, and again, in my state. So one of the reasons I'm bringing it up is because the principal broker is the only person who is technically has that listing or has that buyer. Then you have a signed agent. And yes, absolutely. Anytime I showed a house that was listed, I was at Keller Williams. We had 350 agents. I don't know how many listings we had. We had tons. Every time I showed a house that was listed by Keller Williams, it was dual agency.
Interesting.
So understand your state laws, I guess, is my point, because when I went and got licensed in another state, I'm like, wow, that's a lot different. And honestly, I don't like how they do it in Arkansas, but they didn't ask me. So,
right. They didn't consult you. I think we've given them an earful today. Yeah. So what's the moral of that story, Brian?
I've got a couple morals. First of all, decide if you're willing to work with somebody. In other
words,
this
guy with a car, if you see him on the street, that's kind of where my head was at.
Just decide what you're willing to accept and not accept. I was at a mastermind on Tuesday and we were talking about this and we were talking about firing clients, right? And somebody pointed out that usually agents who have been in the business for the first couple of years, they never fire anybody because they don't have a list of people lined up behind them. So they put up with a lot of crap. I just want you to know, to me, this guy, even though he immediately went and wrote an offer, I probably wouldn't have worked with him. And there's lines. I'm not going to have somebody tell me I'm stupid, which this guy clearly thinks everybody's stupid. I'm not going to have somebody tell me how things are going to be when I know 10 times more. I forgot more than this guy knows about real estate. So make a choice. Now, if you're willing to put up with this asshole, go for it. But make a choice about what you're willing to do and then draw a hard line. In other words, create a boundary for yourself so you're not finding yourself doing a bunch of crap that you really don't want to do because now you put yourself in a situation that wasn't acceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go take a shower after listening to this.
You know, we don't normally require beer on cash call, but this might be a beer cash call.
I feel like I need a refreshment after listening to this guy. Anyway, cash call, everybody. You know, we do the hard work for you here on cash call so that you don't have to listen to calls like that. If you want us to review one of your calls for you, we promise we'll be nice. We won't make you cry or make you feel bad. We will give you feedback on your call and we'll even take out your name so that we don't identify who you are, so that we don't embarrass you. Click the link in the description to upload a call for us to review. And if it's good, we'll play it on the show. Or if you'd like to be a guest on the show with me, where I actually review your calls live with you, give you direct coaching feedback, you can also click the link in the description too. So, thanks for joining us. Cash Call, Brian Curtis, Dale Archdeacon, signing off.
Thanks, everybody.